want to create a startup. And maybe that startup has some big IoT dreams. Well, my friends, you're in the right place. Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Welcome, everyone. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we're venturing into the world of startups. Get it? Venturing? Like venture cat. All right, never mind. So, this startup of yours. Maybe it's just you, your buddy John from college, and that guy from your last job that only comes into the garage, lab, on the weekends. Whatever the case. What if you need a little help? A little money? A little change of scenery to get the creative juices flowing? Well, my guest this week may just be able to help you. Please welcome Stephen Webb from Element 14. Stephen is here to discuss the Startup Bootcamp IoT Connected Devices. Explain how you, yes you, can pitch your startup to this unique accelerator program and get your IoT dreams off the ground and running. Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's good to be here and good to talk to you.
So we're here to discuss the Startup Bootcamp IoT Connected Devices. So first off, tell me what this program is all about and how exactly is Element 14 involved?
The program is about seeking out from anywhere around the world the best and brightest new ideas in IoT, both in consumer and in industrial. And the way Startup Bootcamp work, and they're a global organization that have been running for a number of years now very successfully, is that they open a new program for applications, and the programs run in cities around the world. This IoT one happens to be in London, but they open the programs for applications. They typically get between 400 and 500 applicants from new and startup businesses for each program, and they use their expertise and the expertise of their partner organizations, and Premier Funnel Element 14 is one of those partners for this program, to distill those 400 or 500 applications down into a much smaller number and then ultimately into a final group of between 8 or 10. And those startups are invited to relocate from wherever they are currently to the host city, again, in this case, London, where they then undertake an intensive 3-month accelerator program. And that program seeks to move their business forward and move their product forward much quicker than they could have done had they been working on their own, wherever they started their business from. As one of the partners, we have the ability to influence that choice of which are the successful startups. And also, we have a whole range of products and services within our group that we think might be beneficial to startup businesses in the area of IoT. And then, of course, a whole load of business experience from colleagues across the group that might be helpful to mentor some of the startups.
So if someone in my audience is interested in pitching their startup, what would they receive if they won, and how many startups will be chosen to participate?
Usually about 8 or 10 startups are chosen. That's the scale that Startup Bootcamp have found is manageable and successful in terms of moving them through this accelerator program. The startups that are chosen will receive some cash benefits, €15,000. They will also get the use of the facilities based in London, office space, and in this case, some technical laboratory facilities as well, where they can work on their product. They get the opportunity to interact not only with all of the other successful programs, and one of the benefits Startup Bootcamp have seen is there is quite a lot of cross-fertilization of ideas once the startup businesses get together and start working closely in this environment, but they will also get the benefit of the mentoring and the input and the support from the various partner organizations. One of the things I've noticed in the discussions I've had with a number of startup businesses in the IoT area, for example, is that they're often started by people with a very strong software background, but in some cases not so much experience of hardware. And therefore, the choice of components, the choice of base technology in terms of hardware is something that they find more difficult to pin down. And that's something we can definitely help with our breadth of knowledge and experience and suppliers across the whole hardware environment. If you then move on to other parts of the Element 14 business, there's, of course, our Element 14 community, which is a great place for people doing electronic design to share ideas, ask questions, get access to peer reviews of components. And then we also have the MBES business in China that can provide great support with manufacturing, which is, again, an area that some of the IoT startups I've met with don't have a great deal of experience of, particularly, as I said, those who come from a software background.
So you mentioned IoT. Is that the only industry segment you're looking for with this contest? What kind of startups should apply?
For this program, it is IoT focused. So really looking for startups that have products in the IoT sphere. That said, IoT, as you know, is a hugely broad subject area. So that's been broken down for this program between consumer and industrial. So in the consumer space, they're looking for startups with products or innovations in the areas of wearables, connected homes, security, and assisted living. And on the industrial side, smart energy, smart manufacturing, smart factories, and smart retail. So those are kind of the eight core areas that we're looking for startups to apply to be involved in this program.
So what is the deadline for applications, Stephen?
Applications for this program close on the 13th of June.
Okay, excellent. Well, Stephen, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you'll be running the London Marathon in not too long from now. Do you have any secrets about running a marathon, or is it just sheer will?
I have to say it's sheer will. I suspect every person who runs marathons will probably say the same, which is I never feel sufficiently prepared. I always feel like I should have done just that bit more training. And unfortunately, things like work and family intervene and I can't train, spend as much time training as I would ideally like to. So when it comes to it, it is will and perseverance. Like lots of people, I tend to hit the dreaded wall at about 20 miles. And then it really is a question of gritting your teeth and just being determined, I think, to get to the finish. I've never had the luxury of running smoothly right to the end. So I'm not expecting to in 3 weeks' time in London, but I'm sure I'll get there.
Well, good luck. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Stephen. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Keeping with our startup theme, let's bring in Gridcom, a startup success story. Gridcom was recently selected as one of the top three finalists in IBM's Global Entrepreneur Smart Camp. What is this startup all about, and how are they making cities smarter? Let me bring in Mike Holt, CEO and co-founder of Gridcom, to explain all of this and more. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure. Thank you, Amelia.
So first off, what does Gridcom do exactly?
So Gridcom basically creates a network over a city's power lines and then uses that network to connect the city's streetlights. And it does this because cities use about 40% of their electricity budget just to light the street. And if you can control that, dim lights and set them at the appropriate level, change that real time via a network, you can save millions of dollars in electricity costs. That's what we do. We connect streetlights and enable cities to control them, saving them millions of dollars in electricity and maintenance costs.
Okay, so in a similar vein, why do you think having a smart grid is so important these days?
Well, a smart grid is important because, well, smart, first of all, means connected. So why do we want things to be connected? Well, if things are connected, you can monitor and you can control them. If you can monitor, you know how you're using resources, in this case, electricity. And if you know what resources you're using, you can better control them and reduce the amount of resource that you're using. So in the case of smart grid, you're able to more efficiently use the electricity that's being generated. That's a huge impact on the world, not only in terms of money, but in terms of CO2 emissions, in terms of pollution. If you're smart in the way you use electricity, you don't build as many power plants that pollute the world. Being able to know how devices, buildings, factories use electricity and then be able to control that is what the smart grid is about. And by doing that, you save a lot of money in electricity and also a lot in terms of delivering power to people in a more environmentally friendly way.
So recently I saw that you collaborated with another company to provide smart cloud-based lighting to Indonesia. So tell me a bit more about this collaboration and why Indonesia?
So, I mean, first of all, more generally, the world, almost all cities are focused on smart city initiatives. And they're doing that because this provides capability to allow them to better manage electricity. It also gives them an infrastructure across their entire cities to implement other smart initiatives by connecting hundreds of thousands of sensors and be able to manage other resources within their city more effectively. So all cities, I think, are focused on smart city initiatives. And Indonesia is no exception. In this case, it's Jakarta. We're involved in other cities in Indonesia, but Jakarta is no different. They're focused on how they implement smart city initiatives. And the first of those would be streetlight control, simply because streetlight control, or lighting the streets, uses 40% of a city's electricity budget. So it's a big item that everybody wants to focus on. Beyond that, they want to be able to have this network, this infrastructure. This network then can be used to connect all kinds of devices. We hear about IoT or smart sensors. Well, it's one thing to have the sensors. It's quite another thing to be able to connect those and use the data and do that cost effectively. And that's what this network then provides. So this infrastructure for a smart city is what we enable. That's what Jakarta is interested in, just like every smart city. So why Jakarta? Well, Jakarta is a huge city that greatly benefits from this kind of capability and management. They're a city of, I think, 18 million people or so. And so there's a huge impact financially and also in terms of pollution and environment to be able to manage this well. And so that's why they're focused on this. How did we find Jakarta? Well, we didn't. Jakarta found us. And that's happened quite a bit where cities learn about what we're doing in streetlight control and they come to us. They come to us because they know that streetlights are something that they want to focus on first. And they come to us because, you know, Gusam has the world's most reliable power line communication solution deployed for streetlight control. So they're interested in that. And we end up working with these cities first to do trials on the system and then to deploy it and deploy it to hundreds of thousands of streetlights.
Okay, so Mike, next time I'm in Singapore, where you guys are based, which is soon, hopefully, what is one thing I absolutely should not miss?
Well, if you come to Singapore, you have to have the pepper crab, or other purists would argue chili crab. But regardless, one of those you can't miss. Food is amazing in Singapore, and you can spend certainly a week completely immersed in all the kind of different foods and culture in Singapore, and that's something not to miss. That's the first thing that comes to mind for me. Don't miss the food.
Excellent. I definitely will do that. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to that EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Hey, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 22nd, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.